It's the afternoon in Ukraine where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, hello to you. I have to tell you, I was sickened watching that video of the Russian missile that tore through that outdoor market in eastern Ukraine yesterday, killing 17 and wounding dozens. I mean, once again, the Russians strike a strictly civilian target, correct?
Yeah, Bob, it was absolutely awful. And hello from Lviv. That attack happened just within about an hour after we finished speaking yesterday on the small city of Konstantinivka, named after Constantine. And it's, the city is in Donbass. It's not far from Bakhmut, maybe about 15, 16 miles, and a little bit further than that, actually. But I've passed through there many times because it is, it's one of these sort of staging points for volunteers, for military, for all kinds of people that are going to the front. And it's also a place where people have gone to evacuate, as they've been pushed out of cities that have been leveled and destroyed and cities that are shelled continually. People went, people who wanted to stay close to home moved there. And, every time I've been there, it's, you always wonder, you're close enough when you're in Donbass that anything could happen. And we've seen several of these such attacks throughout the past months of the summer, including that attack on the pizzeria in Kramatorsk. But it seems here it was some accounts say 18, some say 20 have been killed, and absolutely awful. Because as we've talked about so often, people go about their daily lives. This is the spirit of Ukrainian defiance, and as you could see from those videos, this was the central market, and people were going about, getting produce, getting food for their restaurants, getting stuff for their homes. This is a place where you have many foreign journalists and volunteers passing through. And so that there is an economy there, and this is one of the central places for that economy. And so it's absolutely, this is, Russia has, we have many cases of this throughout the full-scale invasion, but especially several in the Donbass region over the past few months. And, it seems that they want to terrorize people, but I think perhaps they realize now that they can't really terrorize the Ukrainians, but what they can do is scare the West. And at the same time, Anthony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, was in Kyiv, and he was promising, more aid from Washington. And, Washington, they always throw out extraordinary numbers. So the new aid package is something like $1 billion. And at some point, I wonder if they'll realize that this is not really helpful, because the opposition to supporting Ukraine, which really comes from Republicans in Washington, when they hear those numbers, they say this is too much. And you can understand why, because it's just big numbers tossed around left and right. And I wonder why Washington, I'm sure that the White House and the State Department has to be aware of their opposition in the United States. So I wonder why they're not more careful when they speak of these numbers. Because as we know, so as I've said so many times, when we look at the valuation of the packages, the value of the spending packages for Ukraine from the U.S., most of it is evaluation. So if they're sending old equipment from the 1980s, they put a price on it. And in fact, that's why there was the accounting error, which was discovered several months ago. They said, oh, we overvalued stuff by $6 billion. And even as recently as a couple of days ago, conservative American website Town Hall was accusing the U.S. of losing $6 billion in Ukraine. But, if you all you got to do is take one more step to investigate and realize that money never existed. They were overvaluing this old equipment. There's not $6 billion flying around here. And so this very same day that we see, again, the Russian continued assaults on civilians, you wonder, why won't Washington be more cautious and more serious about this? But I think also, Bob, that the Kremlin is trying to scare Washington. Hmm. And again, the people here have great courage, and they've already been through so much. But if you can scare the West and you can scare the voters in other countries, and I've been the past few days, I've really been going back a lot and reading the history of the 1930s and Winston Churchill in particular. And he was a voice in the wilderness in the 30s. Even as early as 1934 and before, he was warning about the rise of the Germans. He was worried about the Soviets as well. But he had this quote from a speech in 1934. He was saying that Britain was not ready for the threats that were coming. You know, you could see that Hitler was trying to take more territory on the pretext of protecting German speakers in other countries, which is exactly what Moscow was saying. They're trying to protect Russian speakers. And Churchill said these words, that ready at their hands, ready, meaning ready at the hands of the Germans, is this lamentable weapon of the air. Because this is the 40s. You know, this would have been this is the first war. I mean, this is the 30s, but, you know, air forces were developing. And Churchill said, against German Air Force, our Navy is no defense, and against which women and children, the weak and the frail, the pacifist and the jingoist, the warrior and the civilian, the frontline trenches and the cottage home all lie in equal and impartial peril. And that's exactly what we saw in that small city of Konstantinivka yesterday, that everyone lies in peril. And Churchill's point was, you know, for recent centuries of warfare, the fights were in the battlefield. But now with modern technology and weapons, when there is war, it's going to hit civilians. And so the best thing we can do is not to be complacent and to make sure we're well armed so that we're not attacked. And the last score on that point is, you know, in the language of Secretary Blinken, you know, again, the United States promised to restore Ukrainian air defense, which has been heavily depleted because of all these attacks. And the language seems to be a language of defense rather than victory. And this is the question for everyone in the world. Do they want victory for Ukraine, or is it simply defense as long as this might go on?
Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it, for sure. The other thing I'm thinking about today, Joseph, we often are discussing, or you're telling us about these terrible attacks on civilians like the one in the outdoor market yesterday. And I know you listened to our broadcast here right before you come on, so you hear me doing commercials for outdoor decks or lovely Midwest vacation spots. And sometimes I feel guilty that I'm reading those as you're listening to them there in Ukraine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I always say, though, you know, I mean, don't feel too guilty because, I mean, it's you know, people here, you know, continue to live and in defiance, and, you know, even during air alarms, there are people in cafes, and I think they've seen so much that anyone who's still there is not likely to run away, and so people still try to have, you know, a party in their garden, or, you know, to have these occasions, especially because you don't know when you're going to see people again, and that's true for every human in a way, but it's especially magnified in time of war, and so when you have a chance to enjoy life. It's good, but if the thing, maybe instead of guilt for people in the States, is to think, you know, for just a small investment, you know, maybe this can be stopped. You know, with American, you know, with American willingness to say, okay, Ukraine, we'll give you long range weapons, whatever it takes, to put a stop to this. And, you know, even after, I mean, we had that attack in Konstantinivka yesterday, but then last night there were the Iranian made suicide drones flying throughout the country, once again a night of terror, and the Russians pounded. The fourth time in 5 nights, they pounded that region of Bessarabia, the ports of Ishmael on the River Danube, right next to Romania. They're pounding this day and day. Every night. And this could be stopped if Ukraine, you know, if Ukraine had the ability to go for the victory. That's the question for Washington.
The people in Ukraine, and I include you in there, Joe, are remarkable. And in a way, you're living life to the fullest, more than we are here. We'll talk tomorrow. I hope you have a peaceful 24 hours until then.
Until tomorrow, Bob. Thank you.